all around the country this evening. There are rallies being held. A nice in certain, well, not all around the country, but certainly in some of the main centres. And it is a pay equity rally, and it's for the allied health workers. And I want to talk to, I'm going to talk to Will Matthews, and I think Will is with the PSA. And the reason I want to talk to Will, obviously about the rally, but I think a lot of people don't actually know the significant role that the allied health workers play in our health system in Aotearoa. So, Will, kia ora and welcome to you on Radio Wātea this evening.
Kia ora, thank you for having me.
Look, Will, this is quite significant. It's called Hour of Power, and it's the, I guess it's the call to action on pay equity for the allied health workers. So tell us about the rally. But more importantly, also about, I'd love you to share with us, first of all, the roles that some of the allied health workers have and play in within our current health system.
Yeah, I'd love to. So look, I'm back at home now wringing my clothes out because it's been torrential rain around the country this evening. But despite that, hundreds of health workers have showed up, despite the weather, too. Stand up and speak out and say that they won't be the invisible workforce anymore. Allied health workers, there's about 15,000 of them, and they make up over 100 different professions across the country. So in terms of the more patient-facing people, we have roles like physiotherapists and occupational therapists. We've also got mental health workers like alcohol and drug clinicians who are counseling people with addictions and helping them on the road to recovery. We've got high-order Māori workers who work to provide high-order with a treatment plan or, you know, a process through the health system that is in line with their tikanga and te ao Māori. Behind the scenes, we've got roles like sterile sciences technicians, and they're the ones who clean and sterilize all your surgical equipment so it's nice and clean when it comes to your surgery. And people like clinical engineers who make sure that all of your life-saving machinery is actually working. So although you don't see a lot of these people because you just think about health workers as doctors and nurses, these 15,000 workers are there every step of the way in your health journey. And unfortunately, they have been unrecognized, underpaid, undervalued, and overworked for too long. We've been working on this pay equity claim for 5 years, and we're getting to the end of it, but there's been some pretty baffling delays. So tonight was about recognizing these valuable workers, but also standing up and saying, look, pay equity delayed is pay equity denied, and time's up. We need to end this gendered pay discrimination right now.
But, Will, I did hear you just say that, but surely the negotiations couldn't have been going on for 5 years. There must have been some interim equity arrangement in the last 5 years. It just couldn't be just 5 years of negotiation and toing and throwing.
Unfortunately, we haven't even gotten to negotiations yet. So pay equity is a very long and complex process that involves us having to actually assess the work that is done, and you know, you can tell with over 100 different professions, that takes a while. We've got to assess them. We've got to demonstrate that gendered undervaluation exists, and then we get to go into negotiations. We are ready to go into negotiations. Te Whatu Order is ready to go into negotiations. Unfortunately, we've got this small group of officials responsible for signing off on the process who are delaying, and we don't know why. So really, you know, part of tonight was about calling on this group to do what they can to enable settlement rather than keep delaying it.
Well, that's interesting because if you haven't even started entering into negotiations, I mean, to give them a hurry up, and these are these officials, you might just say, well, from the 1st of October, for the next 3 days, we will be withdrawing our services completely, right across the board, right throughout Aotearoa. Now, surely that would put the wind up them.
Unfortunately, we are not allowed to take strike action when it comes to pay equity. Last year, the same group of members were actually subject to an injunction by Te Whatu Order, or the DHBs as they were at the time, when they did try to take strike action. So pay equity has become a process that strike action is not legally allowed. So we do have to rely on other means of organising our members for them to show their power. And tonight was just one example of that. And I think that they have made a big statement tonight.
Yeah, well, that's good. And I'm pleased that people came out into the various locations tonight to protest. Surely there should be some sort of a time. I don't know. But, Will, I would have thought that there must have been. I mean, I know, as you've said this evening, it can be quite complex, you know, when you look at the range of jobs and roles that allied health workers play. But surely there should be some sort of a within 3 years, say, or such and such. I mean, if they had have started 6 years ago, within 3 years, we will work towards a 3-year settlement in terms of pay equity. Because if you don't have a time frame, Will, this could just go on, you know, item for item and just, you know, carry on and on.
Yeah, and if it was up to us, we would have settled this a very long time ago. But we did have to wait for the employer and the government to catch up and provide the resources that we needed on their end to take the claim seriously. We've had that for a while now, and we've been going along pretty well. We've been in a position for a while now with Te Whatu Ora, where both parties have been ready to go and negotiate and deliver, you know, really significant pay increases to this workforce. We're getting blocked by this small group of officials, and we really need them to do their job, which is about enabling pay equity rather than delaying it.
Do you think the health reforms and embedding those, and it's only just been over a year since Te Whatu Ora has got under underway really through the disestablishment of the 20 DHBs, do you think that has been part of a, well, I mean, I wouldn't say it's been orchestrated, but that has delayed the negotiations, I suspect. Would that be correct or not really?
I mean, this has been an enormous restructure, but from the perspective of a union, you know, industrially, we are now having to only negotiate with one employer instead of 20 like we were doing before. So in some ways, it has become much simpler since we've had Te Whatu Ora. And we've seen that really paying off in the last few weeks as well. So a few weeks ago, we got hundreds and hundreds of our members to write to Margie Upper, the CEO of Te Whatu Ora, asking her to push a little bit harder to enable this claim. And we started seeing results from that within days. You know, we started to see the wheels moving again. So, you know, having Te Whatu Ora as the largest employer in the country now, as a single unified entity, you know, also makes it a very powerful ally in the fight for pay equity.
Now, we don't have, Will, we hear so often about not enough doctors, not enough nurses, radiologists, etc. So would that apply into the allied health workers as well? Do we have enough of the allied health worker roles? Do we have enough staff or workers throughout the country to fill the current vacancies?
We absolutely do not. So they are almost as a whole across 100 professions overworked and under-resourced. So we've got departments facing enormous vacancies at the moment, which just adds the workload to them. And part of that is people going to Australia. Part of that is people leaving the health workforce or going private too. The thing is, it's almost a hidden problem with the allied professions, because when we look at the numbers of vacancies, I believe it's been reported today that there's about 1,300 allied health vacancies across the country and about 2,500 nursing ones. 1,300 doesn't seem like a lot, but when you boil that down, that's one social worker still working in a department that should have 7 social workers. That's an enormous level of vacancies. So when we look at how this is actually impacting allied health workers on the ground, you see that it is a crisis and that the workforce issues are arguably significantly worse than other health professions.
Well, it certainly appears so. And with the workers, what's the gender divide, Will? Are we talking about the allied health workers, is that predominantly a female workforce, or is it equally male and female?
it's predominantly a female workforce, and you can only have a pay equity claim if it has historically been a predominantly female workforce as well. There are more men coming into these professions, but I believe that it is still roughly about 90% women.
Right. I thought the pay equity was about just a lower pay. I didn't realize, and you've just cleared that up for me, thank you very much, that it is obviously the pay equity is because it is a predominantly female workforce.
Yeah, so pay equity is about a role that has been historically performed by women
Right.
being paid less than a role of equal value that has been predominantly performed by men. So when we talk about value, we're not saying similar duties because it's difficult to compare on duties
Yes.
between male and female dominated roles. We're talking about value, which is all of the extra skills, responsibilities, the hidden work that you bring in. So when we talk about value, we could be talking about things like experiential learning. So the skills that you've learned as a parent, for instance, that you bring into your work. So really, skills that have gone under the radar for years and years because they are skills that are associated with women. Pay equity is about quantifying that and making sure that historically, female workforces are paid appropriately for their value.
I see. So it's actually because the workforce is predominantly female. It's well, I guess it is the role and the work as well, isn't it? It's not really, yes, well, it is. There's a predominantly female workforce, so that's where the inequity comes in. And it's always been that case, I think, in so many jobs, hasn't it?
Yeah, so basically over time, because this has been predominantly performed by women and therefore has been devalued because of that, the pay of allied health workers has just fallen further and further behind comparable male-dominated roles. But there have been pay equity claims for nurses, for health admin workers, there are pay equity claims for teachers. This is an enormous scale of work that our unions are doing at the moment. We are determined to get this claim settled and across the line before the general election, and provided that all parties are united in enabling the claim rather than delaying it, we will get there.
So that's quite a wish to have it settled before the general election. And do you think that's actually doable?
Oh, the timeline absolutely exists for it. Like I said, we just need that governance group to do their job to enable the claim rather than delaying it. But no, it is realistic that we can get this done for health workers before the election.
Oh, that's great. And tell me, when you obviously, with the action that you've taken this evening and the rallies around the country, do you have to signal that, first of all, to the Director General of Health or perhaps to the Minister of Health, that this is an action that you're taking? Not necessarily the reason why, I'm sure that they'll know that, but that this action that you were taking tonight was being called, and would there be any attempt made by the minister or by the minister of, the Ministry of Health to actually prevent that from happening?
So this the important difference is that this is not a strike action.
Yeah.
These workers have come to this outside of work hours, and they've
Right.
given up their personal time to make this statement. So because it's not a strike action, there isn't an obligation to inform anyone or go through the usual legal processes. We did obviously make sure that Te Whatu Ora and the Minister of Health knew about this. The Minister of Health unfortunately wasn't able to make the event in Wellington, but we did have Tracey McClellan attend as a representative of the government, and we're really grateful for the support that the Minister of Health and the government has provided for this claim so far, and the ongoing work that they're doing to help us get this over the line before the election.
I suppose, Will, if this was predominantly a male workforce, I suspect that probably the pay equity, well, there may be some sort of a discrepancy there, but it probably wouldn't be as much as it is, and it would have been sorted a lot earlier than this. Would I be right there, or is it just no, this is the way it
Well,
is, and
as part of this process, we have to directly compare this work with male-dominated work of equal value. And what we're actually finding is that female-dominated workers are being paid significantly less than their value, and male-dominated occupations are usually being paid a bit more than their value. So this is absolutely an issue that relates to gender and like the gendered devaluing of certain types of work and certain skills.
Well, it's very sad to think, you know, because, you know, can you imagine if we didn't have the allied workforce, if they weren't there turning up every day to do the work that you've outlined, what some of those roles were a little earlier, if they weren't there to do the work, then so much could not happen. So much couldn't happen, yeah. Because they're a vital clog in the machinery of the provision of health services.
Yeah, you don't want to think that when you're going into surgery that there might be dirty equipment waiting for you. You don't want to think that when you or, you know, someone in your family or one of your friends is going in to seek support with their addiction, you want to think that the person who's supporting them is, you know, happy, healthy, well looked after, well paid, and not struggling to you know, support the caseload of five of their colleagues who have recently left. Like, we need these health workers in order to have a healthy New Zealand, and it is time that they are paid fairly for the just, you know, incomparable contribution that they make.
Well, I wouldn't have gone. The rally tonight, the Hour of Power, the rallies that were held throughout the country, that certainly wouldn't have gone unnoticed. It wouldn't have gone unnoticed with the general public, Will. It wouldn't have gone unnoticed with people who work in the health sector in the widest sense. And I can bet you that in Wellington too, it would not have gone unnoticed by those who sit in the corridors of power and walk the corridors of power. And, you know, it's just great to think that you're hanging in there. And because it is an equity issue, and unless you do something, then of course the devaluing of a predominantly female workforce will continue to happen. So I'm so pleased that you took this action, and I guess every right-thinking New Zealander will be of the same mind, Will. Thank you so much for joining us on Radio Waitea this evening.